Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Full Court Press with Fanta and Adams is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. Full Court Press has the latest news and opinions from men's and women's college basketball. Our hosts are John Fanta, who calls games all around the country for Fox Sports and others, and Kim Adams, an analyst for Fox and ESPN, and a former D1 baller who never saw a three-point opportunity she didn't like. If you don't believe me, check her Twitter page. Take it away, guys.
Welcome on into Full Court Press from Pure Hoops Media, everybody. I'm John Fanta on this Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. Game one of the NBA Finals tonight as we tape Lakers Heat. I think it's going to be a really good series. I've got the Lakers in six. We'll see, though. Could see the Heat taking game one. I have a feeling like it's going to be tight. As you know, we talk a lot of college basketball, but today we will zone in on the NBA and the finals with Yes Analyst. She's on all the Nets coverage, has done work with NBA broadcasting. She's on SiriusXM, NBA radio, just all over the place around the league. Sarah Kustak is my guest. We do some work together on Fox Sports as well. And Sarah and I hit on a bunch of topics, including the linkage with John Calipari, who's been in the news in a variety of ways. I'll get to that in a second. And Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo. How about the way that they've played for the Miami Heat? Bam, as exciting as a player as you're going to see in the post. Hero, lights out shooting. It's really been fun to watch each of them rise up. On the flip side, you've got Rajon Rondo. You've got Anthony Davis. Kentucky leads all schools, by the way. Those four players, the most of any school. Nobody else has more than two out of universities across the country. And I think that that just shows John Calipari's imprint. And the fact that there is this sense of pride, this sense of love for where they came from. Jamal Murray really showed it off with the Nuggets and throughout his playoff run, showing up in Kentucky stuff. And of course, I mean, that's not surprising at all. But I think, look, Big Blue, they'll be watching the finals and they'll be watching them closely. And they've got four different guys involved in this series, two for each side, which gives it a fun flair. The two programs with two players apiece and everybody else with one. Arizona, the Wildcats, with Andre Iguodala, who making his sixth straight appearance in the NBA Finals is just attached to this series and has become a staple to Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson broadcasts on ABC during the last 6 years, as well as Solomon Hill along with him, those two Arizona alums. And then there's Marquette with Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder. Crowder's a former Big East Player of the Year. We know what Butler's done. So each of those schools with two apiece. And for Marquette, they've had quite the basketball offseason. You've got two guys that are in the NBA Finals. The Marquette alumni won the TBT, the tournament that was really the first taste of basketball that we got back starting on the 4th of July. And Marquette's TBT team ended up winning that. So kind of a cool storyline there for the Golden Eagles and the kind of offseason they've had. I brought up John Calipari. So last week, we had Chris Mack on of Louisville. And I asked Mack what the status of the Kentucky game was. Here's what he had to say. Have to ask this. Louisville, Kentucky will happen in 2020.
You know, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know, you know, because again, you know, you're dealing with a limited calendar. You know, we're starting conference games in December earlier than we ever have. We certainly have had to push back, you know, the Big Ten ACC challenge. So where that comes out, you know, I don't know. You know, for instance, the University of Cincinnati, we were supposed to play our second game of the season against those guys at their place. You know, talking to John Brannon, you know, how fair is it for us to play their home game in front of literally no fans and then have him return the game? You know, and I think the same thing, you know, holds true for the Louisville-Kentucky game. You know, where is the equity of Kentucky coming here in front of no fans and then having to go back to Rupp Arena in front of 21,000 fans? But I recognize, and we recognize, man, the best rivalry. I know I'm biased in all of college basketball. If there was somehow we could do this at a neutral site, again, that's without talking to Kentucky and what their scheduling holds.
So obviously there's a lot up in the air with the upcoming college basketball season. Well, that story went viral. That quote went viral. It was on ESPN.com. It was on ESPN's Bottom Line. You're talking about several stories written about it, sports talk about it. It's been a debate topic. How could you jeopardize Louisville, Kentucky, Chris Mack? That was the thought in mind. Well, Chris Mack put this Twitter video out on Tuesday that stirred up all the drama and more. Take a listen at this.
Cards fans, your fearless leader, Coach Mack. I keep getting asked, Coach, are we playing the game? Are you scared? Are you a chicken? You won't play Kentucky? As for the UK series, here's the thing. I want to do what's most convenient for John and his program. You do believe that, right? That I want to do what's best for John? Never mind the fact that we had a December 12th mutually agreed upon date to play the game. And never mind the fact that they backed out of the 12th because they were returning from London on December 6th after playing Michigan. Thought it was too close to the 12th. Never mind the fact that that December 6th game got canceled. No trip to London. Can we play that game on the 12th? Never mind the fact that they scheduled Notre Dame in lieu of playing us on the mutually agreed upon date of December 12th. Never mind the fact that they called ESPN and tried to change one of our ACC games without our knowledge or permission. Never mind the fact that Coach Stoops and his football program at the University of Kentucky honored that request in football to move Louisville's home game from 2020 to 2021. If you can do it in football, seems like you could do it in basketball. Never mind the fact that University of Cincinnati asked us to do the exact same thing that we're asking Kentucky to do. And we honor that request. Listen, I don't want to stand in the way of college basketball's best rivalry. Whatever is most convenient for Coach Cal, we'll do it. See you in the Center. Go Cards.
So John Calipari offered a response simply through text on Twitter. No video, no audio. And it is, see you December 26th. Can't wait. All right. So Louisville, Kentucky's going to happen. It's going to be fun. This is exactly what this rivalry needed. Inject this into my veins. But it also brings up the bigger storyline, folks. If you're Louisville and Kentucky, if you're Cincinnati and Xavier, if you're Providence and Rhode Island, if you're Marquette and Wisconsin, figure it out. You're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have some hurdles to climb over. It might not always be fair. Figure it out. Who cares? Finding a solution is better than dwelling on a problem. And in a college basketball season that's probably going to see games get canceled, not probably, but it's going to happen. It's inevitable. Going to see some postponements. Why would you eliminate Why would you even jeopardize your local rivalry with a school? Why? Because of attendance? Come on. You know, Providence and Rhode Island, their game is called off this upcoming season. It's a really good rivalry. And Providence is the host this year. And they ended up putting out a statement that they weren't going to play the game and it would be their year to host and there wouldn't be fans and all that stuff. Figure it out. There's not going to be fans in the stands. So if you've got the home game this year, well, tough luck, man. But don't not play the game and don't jeopardize it now. Don't call it off now. You might need that game, both for your resume, for your season. And it's an easy game to fill because the team's just down the road. Why the heck would you call that game off? So it's good to see that Louisville and Kentucky have worked it out. And the last week has shown just how powerful that rivalry is. John Calipari and Chris Mack don't like each other, and I love it. We need more of that in college basketball. That's what people like about the sport. They like that toughness. They like that grittiness. They talk about the 80s and 90s. This felt like that. That's really good. Kentucky-Louisville, December 26th. It's the Christmas gift that we'll all be waiting for. Let's get to NBA Finals talk. Let's get to Brooklyn Nets talk. Really interesting team with KD, Kyrie. How does that all work out with Steve Nash? And who does Sarah Kustak have in the NBA Finals? I caught up with the NBA analyst this week. With the NBA Finals revving up, we're getting some NBA perspective from one of the great experts on your TV throughout the season. She is the Nets on Yes analyst with the great Iron Eagle, Michael Grady, as well over these last couple weeks and months. And she's also with Fox Sports as part of their NBA college hoops, as well as NFL coverage. It is the great Sarah Kustak joining us here on Full Court Press. And Sarah, the NBA Finals are here. The excitement, I can feel it. I don't think there's any sort of an asterisk here with the champion. This is going to be a lot of fun. I know you've been remotely broadcasting, you were remote broadcasting Nets on Yes, but just from your perspective, what would you say on how the NBA has been able to pull this off over the last weeks and months?
Excellent question. First, though, John, I want to say my excitement level is at an all-time high, getting a chance to talk to you and see your face, one of my colleagues and partners and friends. So it's great to see you. And it truly, to your question about the NBA, the league, what they have done in Orlando with the bubble, it has been extraordinary to watch their level of diligence in how they've executed so many of the plans they set forth. I know Adam Silver and the rest of the league and so many others involved spent so much time trying to plan out all the details in so many scenarios and circumstances of creating that environment on the NBA campus in Orlando. And credit to the players, first and foremost, the coaches, the list goes on, because you can only imagine. And hearing them talk, hearing them speak with everything happening throughout the world and the country, just their ability to do what they have done physically, mentally, emotionally, it's really been so impressive. And you got to give them so much credit for just what they've been able to accomplish. In fact, as you said, that they've made it this far and a couple months in, that the NBA Finals are getting set to tip off. It's something that I know many of us were uncertain if it would happen and how it would happen, given everything involved. And it's really been something to see. A lot of credit goes to all those parties.
Sarah, you played the game, DePaul alum, and under normal circumstances, playing the game takes a certain level. From your conversations with players, what kind of a level would you say they've had to touch in Orlando?
It's you mentioned the word, and I hope that conversation is done with, because I know it was part of the dialogue and just questions of those talking about asterisks. And by no means, I mean, if anything, it's an exclamation point for just the uniqueness and the challenges that have gone along with it. But you see it with the players, you hear about it. And I think in many regards, what's been fascinating and fun to watch and interesting is that there's changes and there's so much differences in terms of the lack of travel. I know we've seen that's the level playing field without fans, how that's affect different teams, and just, you know, the concept of how we are so accustomed, especially in the playoffs, to what the environment is like because of the home arenas and because of the atmospheres. But it's really been a level playing field on that front. And more of it too is just the concept of these players needing to really find the juice within the game and that love of the game. And we've seen so many extraordinary performances. The list goes on. I think from the start of it, I mean, truly with the seeding games, the competitive nature, the spirit of it, and you know, so many of these different players putting on shows, teams, the list goes on. And I think for that reason alone, we've seen a really special level of basketball, especially when it comes to the offensive games and some of these offensive performances by teams. It's been for those who love basketball and care about basketball, just so much fun to have an opportunity to witness.
Sarah Kustak is our guest. She is the Brooklyn Nets analyst on their telecast on the YES Network. And Sarah, seeing along the Eastern Conference throughout your season, normal season, when you look at the Miami Heat, why are they the last one standing out of the East?
They got moxie. They have got such a level of, I'm using the word competitiveness, but just a grind, a confidence, and a togetherness, which I feel like is always important throughout the course of a postseason run. But that level of buy-in, that level of just comfort in that bubble environment, and the routineness of the days, and the ability to, you know, for all of these players, I think we've seen, you know, whether it's a Tyler Hero coming out in his rookie season, having the type of performances he has, Duncan Robinson, just in his second year. Of course, Bam Adebayo is someone who I have been an enormous fan of since he's gotten to the league, and just how he's been able to affect the game. Goran Dragic, same thing. You know, one of my favorite players since his days back with the Suns, and just the way in which Jimmy Butler has been a leader for this group coming over. Again, the list goes on and on. Eric Spoelstra, one of the NBA's great coaches, and will go down as one of the great coaches in NBA history. But a multitude of reasons that I think they have just really come together. How they perform on the defensive end, the different looks they've given, and then some of those, you know, those players who have found their groove and found their way on the offensive end. I think for, you know, Eastern Conference, that it was such a great battle, you know, with the Celtics. So many had talked about the Bucks expectations going into the season. I think this Miami Heat team had believed, and a lot of that belief starts from the top. But more than anything, I think a lot of the success we see is when teams find that chemistry both on and off the floor, and they've definitely done that.
You brought up Spoelstra. How much is he an embodiment of what the association is all about?
I can't say enough good things about him, just in watching him, in studying him from afar. I also had the great pleasure of, for a couple of seasons, calling the G League Finals. One of those was a year that the Sioux Falls Skyforce won. They were led by Dan Craig, who's now an assistant with Eric Spoelstra. Just the compilation of that entire coaching staff, what we see in the front office. But for Eric Spoelstra, and you said it, I mean, his story is one of the great ones, of starting in the film room and started as a video room. And the way in which he studies the game, you can tell how it plays out. And I think too, you know, looking at the different rosters he's had, the championships, we know the storylines are plentiful. This NBA Finals with LeBron James and playing for the Heat and Pat Riley and all of those things. But I think for just the even-keeled nature of Spoelstra, the grind that he has put into his basketball acumen and his study and how he implements that, in games. He really is just such an extraordinary coach. And I'm thrilled that so many have seen, I don't think any coaching job is easy. So I certainly don't think those championships that he won were easy, despite the, some of the talent that he had with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And you can go on, but I think it's been really special for, you know, those of us watching, basketball fans, those that cover the league, to watch what he's done with a roster that many, most, I would say, probably didn't expect them to be in this position.
Looking at this series, Miami, their fourth quarter differential throughout the postseason, plus 68. And on the flip side, the Lakers have two of the greats in LeBron James and Anthony Davis, which just sets up for quite the collision here in this series. And I think you'd say the same. I don't expect this to be a four or five game series. I think this has a chance to be a six game series, and maybe we get lucky here. But turning to the Lakers, what are the things that you think need to happen for them to do what perhaps the casual sports fan expects, and that is for LeBron James to come out with another championship?
Yeah, I think keep doing what they've been doing. And for as much as I have just been speaking about the buy-in of the Miami Heat and how well they have come together, I think watching the Lakers, and I know the start of the season and in the regular season feels like a decade ago, given the hiatus in between. But this Lakers group, despite the fact that there were so many new pieces, really came together quickly. And the job that Frank Vogel has done with his coaching staff and his first year with the Lakers, I think a lot of what we've seen them, you know, predicate their game on, you think of course, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, as you should, but also what they've been able to do on the defensive end and just how they have played in that area, the tempo that they could play at, the push that they have, the presence on the inside, the size that they bring to the table, you know, whether that is, you know, what they've done with, you know, the insertion, the change in the starting lineup of Dwight Howard in the previous series, or obviously the size and versatility Anthony Davis brings, but just the size of LeBron James. And I think so often when you look at this matchup and the matchup within the matchup, how Miami will be able to combat that. But the Lakers, they, similar to the Heat, because both of them have a 12-3 record in the course of this postseason thus far, they have come in with such a business-like approach and attitude, and not taking any team, not taking any game, not taking series for granted. And I think LeBron James, we knew, has been on a mission. So many of these players, you know, on this Lakers team and within the franchise have talked about their dedication of this postseason, of this season, to the late Kobe Bryant. And I think there is so much for them that is not just simply about winning a championship, but the meaningfulness and the emotional ties that go along with it. So the Lakers, I mean, the Lakers have been so much of, you know, what you would anticipate in a LeBron James led team, but it's, I hope we get a long series, John, and I'm anticipating that we will. But the Lakers, as we know them to be, are the real deal, and they have been playing that way throughout the course of this postseason.
We do a lot of college basketball on this podcast. You've been immersed with all the NBA stuff. We do some women's college work for Fox Sports that I very much enjoy with you. You know, I think about the college hoops linkage to these finals and to the bubble as a whole, and John Calipari comes to mind. With Kentucky, you've got Anthony Davis, Rajon Rondo on the Lakers side, you've got Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero on the Heat side, and oh, by the way, if there were a fifth player, he's probably the player of the bubble beyond these two teams, and that's Jamal Murray.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing to look at that, and I think, you know, so often we talk to these players, or we see them throughout the course of the season, or at any point, and it's really special to see the pride that they have in their collegiate team, or where so many of them played, or the tie and links between whether they were former teammates or whether they, you know, had missed one another throughout the course of their years. But that is a real thing. And I think for so much of it, you know, based on the program, I think Bam Adebayo is a great example of this with, so some of these schools and teams, Kentucky and John Calipari, it's such a talent-laden team and a roster that sometimes the numbers or what's asked of them or the role is different than what you anticipate seeing. And I think so many eyes have been opened about Bam Adebayo, not just, you know, of course, his versatility, athleticism, ability to guard 1 through 5, his passing ability and how he's been able to handle the bat, all these things. And he simply said, I didn't need to do that in college. That wasn't my role in college. So many of these areas which you're seeing flourish are, you know, by necessity for what I'm able to do and having that type of skill set. But I think a lot of it circles back to just, you know, winning, the concept of winning, the concept of unselfishness and a team atmosphere. So it's really fun to see. I'm curious, you know, you imagine on their own teams, they have that type of camaraderie and loyalty, but I'm curious when it's across enemy lines for these, how that plays out. And maybe a little bit of the talking we'll hear because of it.
Yeah, it could be very, very fun. Sarah Kustak is our guest. So Sarah, I'm putting you on the spot here. Who you got?
John, I don't like to. I've been trying as much as I can to not make predictions because things have been so wild. But if you put me to it, I will probably take the Lakers. I wouldn't bet against LeBron James, especially not when he's got Anthony Davis on his side. But I anticipate a deep. I would say 6 games. I'm hoping for 7 games. But the Miami Heat, this is no accident. This isn't a fluke. They're the real deal.
Let's turn to your regular NBA job throughout the season, being the Nets analyst. What do you make of the Steve Nash hire?
I'm thrilled, you know, about what we could potentially see with a fit of, you know, not only is he a two-time league MVP, he did played in the year at a superstar level for nearly 2 decades. And he's someone who I think, despite the fact I know a lot of the rhetoric around it, is his lack of true head coaching experience. But what he had done the last 5 years with the Golden State Warriors and his role as a, you know, basketball operations consultant and being in the film room, being on the floor, being in different meetings, I think getting a taste of so many of those things, the relationship that he built and connected with Kevin Durant, the relationship that he's had training and working out with Kyrie Irving, the understanding of what it takes to play and to be at that level. He's thus far, and we'll still continue to see how the coaching staff fills out, but surrounding himself with some great experience, having Jacques Vaughn on as his associate head coach. So I'm excited about it. And I think more than anything, just his passion and his desire to really help these players come together and to flourish and to reach their full potential. So, you know, for the Brooklyn Nets, you know, trying to figure out, I don't know when this next season will officially begin, but seeing Kevin Durant be healthy and finally take the floor in that Brooklyn jersey, and same for Kyrie, you know, the hopefulness he'll be entirely healthy. That, I think, brings a lot of excitement to Brooklyn Nets fans, because it's something they've been waiting on now for about a year.
Sarah, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this particular element with this offseason for Brooklyn. When you have Caris LeVert do what he just did for them, and you have the situation of Irving and Durant being primary guys, the question gets brought up. You know, it's not like the Nets are going out and acquiring somebody. There could be trade talks. There could be a lot of those dialogues. Not a bad problem to have with the arsenal of complementary pieces they have, but how do you think they measure what they do here in the offseason to set themselves up for the best success around Irving and Durant?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, John, and well put, just because when you look at the way the roster sits now and what they have, the performance of the Nets in the bubble, and they had a lot of new pieces integrated, many different guys, because there was a handful, I want to say, and now I'm forgetting the number, 8 or 9 of their roster players due, whether it was due to COVID or a multitude of reasons, that did not participate in Orlando. There was really, you didn't get a great grasp in a great sense of what this, all these roster pieces may look like together, in addition with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So I think just the concept, it's not always easy to have a great grasp and a great feel of, okay, what do we have here? How are they going to fit together? But what I will say is Caris LeVert, who has grown each and every year, and every time he has been healthy and has had a chance to get into a rhythm, has been excellent. And he continues to grow as a young player. Spencer Dinwiddie, another one who was not participating in the bubble, but someone that has done so well for this Brooklyn Nets team, Jared Allen. There's a lot of pieces that I think you start to see how they fit together, but more than anything in the NBA, as you know, someone that can play make, someone that can create, someone that can play with the ball in their hand, you know, what they can do on the defensive end. I think for a multitude of reasons, and just having the right attitude, a character guy, a guy that fits into the concept of what their role may be and how that may change. I think those are the important things, especially with this Nets team, that will have aspirations of being a title contender. And I think anytime you have players like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, that'll be your goal. But just trying to fit that in. And I think a lot of that too comes back to, you know, when it comes to personnel, okay, then how do we play and what does our system look like? And how do we use our personnel to the best of their abilities to play on both ends of the floor. So I think that still will be a work in progress. I think once you get into camp and once you have some of those things, you start to see that play out. But more than anything, I just think the level of talent, the level of work ethic, the level of buy-in are a lot of the important things when you look to piece this together.
New York basketball in general. The city, the area has been starving for that type of team to make that run. And in no way am I going to sit here and you know, dish anything out towards the Knicks at all. But the fact is this, I remember I got to New Jersey, Sarah, for college in 2013. And the first word out of people's mouths was, look, when the Knicks are good, it brings a lot of us together around the city. And when you have star power and you have New York, that's where I seem to look at the open door that the Nets could walk into and maybe galvanize that New York basketball community as a whole.
Yeah, I like where your head's at, John.
I'm positive.
I like where your head's at. And I agree, and I'll say this. You know, I'm born and raised in Chicago, so I I think I have a maybe wider lens and perspective on this. Of course, I call games from the Brooklyn Nets, and I would love nothing more. Living here in New York, being in New York, being in the heart of the city, and feeling that as someone who just purely loves the game, I would love nothing more than for the Knicks and the Nets to both be great, and for players, for the organization, you know, whomever. There will always be competition, as you know there should be, which makes it fun, and you want it to become a real rivalry. But I think that stems and that is cultivated by when the two teams are really good. And I'm excited, you know, you look at different things. I'm excited about Tom Thibodeau. I of course was still covering the Chicago Bulls when he was the head coach over there, but I'm excited for, you know, what they can do and the job he may do, some of the young players and the young talent they have. So I am hoping for all teams to be good. I think, you know, just to bring back that energy for New York basketball would be fun. And I think more than anything, as we know, especially in sports, there is nothing better than a true rivalry. And I think that will come from the fact when both of these teams could be great at the same time.
All right, rapid fire here. Last but not least, hidden talent you picked up during quarantine. Anything that you found out about yourself. Maybe a hobby that you picked up on.
I wouldn't say it's new. I will say I rediscovered. As you know, with our jobs and the craziness of it, I don't cook quite as much as I would typically like to. Back in Chicago with friends, and we'd always have family dinners every week. We'd all be cooking, we'd all be bringing things. So I would say having been here, in the craziness of our schedules, I had not cooked as consistently. So I have been cooking nonstop, baking nonstop, trying new things. My dream job would, if it's not to work for the Food Network, it would be to go around and taste test things or cook. But that has been something that has been so much fun to me, and amongst friends, sharing recipes and having different nights of doing things. I'm in more book clubs than I've been at through the probably totality of my, I've had my nose in books and reading books. A lot of it just fun fiction, other things.
But do you have a recommendation?
Oh, do you put in?
Throw it out.
I don't know. One book now that I'm looking at, and I can never say the last, it's called Flow. It's about like maximizing like optimal, like the pursuit of optimal, I guess happiness could be the word, but it's a good, it was a good mindfulness book. What are some others that I've read now that I read the Eddie Olchek book? It was fantastic, a Chicago best. Some of the others, yeah, that's where I'll keep it at now. I read the show Little Fires Everywhere was really popular. Good. Read the book, that I highly recommend. So yeah, there was a lot of good ones, but John, I've been through a bunch and then just passing them along, sending them from friend to friend. But those have been the two things that I have to, other than being on Zoom calls. Now that we do everything, both for work, personally, whatever it may be. But that's how I've spent a lot of my time.
The ever so versatile, The multifaceted, she does it all. You can find her on Twitter at Sarah Kustak. She's on the airwaves. She's on Fox Sports. You might see her sidelines on the NFL coverage. You'll see her for sure at points this fall, and you'll find her on the radio from time to time here with some NBA finals coverage and beyond. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you, John. Hopefully, I can't wait till the next time that I'm next to you calling a game or working in some capacity. But thank you for having me. You are the absolute best, and I'm proud of you.
With that, another episode of Full Court Press is in the books. Thanks again to Fox Sports analyst, Nets analyst. She's all over the place with coverage of the NBA. Sarah Kustak, for spending some time with us. Thanks also to our producer, Mike Lieber, as well as Bruce Bernstein for all their help. Tom Phillip ends the show, and we always appreciate his contributions. Check out our other Pure Hoops media shows. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Aaron Berlin and Otto Strong. That drops each Wednesday. Each Thursday, Monica McNutt and King McClure drop by with Buckets, Boards, and Blocks. Every Friday, it's the Pure Hoops podcast with BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman. The Mike Wise Show drops each Monday, and I will be back every week Tuesday with Full Court Press. Please check out all of our shows, subscribe, download them, rate and review them, but most of all, enjoy the NBA Finals, everybody. See you next week on Full Court Press.
Full Court Press with Fanta and Adams is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.